This evening's scripturing will come from Numbers 11, 1 through 2. Numbers 11, 1 through 2. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out.
Good evening, everyone. Beautiful, beautiful day. So glad to be with you all again. I hope you've had a good afternoon. I hope that it's been uplifting for you. We've had a great time of worship this morning and already this evening, so it's just wonderful to be with you again. And this evening, I wanted to think about one of the things I notice in myself, and I think it's maybe a quiet sort of subtle problem that I face all the time, and sadly, I don't realize it most of the time, and that is really just being forgetful of how blessed I am. And kind of feeling like there are things in life that I take for granted and that I'm kind of entitled to. And when you really think about it, you know, we had such a high standard of living and we're so blessed. And it's so easy to kind of take things for granted. And we find ourselves probably either out loud or maybe we control that part of it, but maybe in our minds, complaining or being a little resentful or feeling down about things. This is a very small example, but the other day there was a mainline break or something with our water. So when I got home from work, we didn't have any running water. And it was fixed by the evening, but it was like, oh, you know, how ridiculous. You know, we don't have running water here. And of course, for most of human civilization, they didn't have running water, especially not the quality and the availability that we have. But it's just amazing how, you know, you just when something's like that, you just feel entitled to it, and then when it's taken away, you feel like it's I don't know, you feel like you're being wronged almost, or like it's amazing how quickly we just adapt to something and then we can't live without it. And we don't think we can live without it, I should say. And like a lot of things in life, I feel like it's sometimes easier to see issues with other people. Like when we study here in Numbers 11, you know, about the people complaining against God. And it's easy to look at them and say, boy, they were so entitled, God did so much for them, and yet they kept going against Him. But I always try to remember, like, that same attitude I have it sometimes as well. I can't throw too many stones. So this evening I wanted to look at this passage in Numbers in this story, and we're going to read quite a bit of it to really kind of see what happened and see what we can kind of take from it. I really want us to, you know, I know it's. An example of what not to do when we see the people of Israel making mistakes and complaining. And I do think it's upon us to kind of see that and try to make application to ourselves, to better ourselves, to not be that way. But I also think it's just an opportunity for us to recenter and realize how blessed we are and to just really think about the how great we have it, and to focus on the good. So we'll begin in Numbers 11, and we're going to start with thinking about the heart and the mindset of those who complain. So in verse 1, the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Terebah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of delium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in handmills, or beat it in mortars, and boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell upon the camp at night, the manna fell with it. Now, regardless of how you may or may not feel about some of those foods they mention, I have a very different palate than that. Some of them think, oh, if we only had leeks, how great it was, I don't know. But they were kind of pining for that thing that they had before, and they were almost kind of, you know, resentful about the lot that they had now, their misfortunes, as the passage says. And it really shows, I think, the importance of perspective. And again, how quickly we adapt to something, a blessing that we have, and then our perspective changes and it becomes something we feel entitled to. I'm in a school right now. I teach in a school that I just love. And I'm so blessed. I'm so happy there. It's just amazing to have such a nice place and nice students to be around. But I have taught in other places that I didn't enjoy so much, that were far more difficult. And being in such a nice school now, you can probably imagine, if you know you've been around really anybody, any workplace or group or anything, people find things to complain about. And in my mind, I guess it's a little different for me. I look at it and say, these things you're complaining about, you have no idea how nice it is here, how good we have it. But then I also think, when I say that, and in doing this study, it made me think, you know, when I was back in those situations that I didn't appreciate very much, why shouldn't I have had that same attitude? Like thinking to myself, no matter how rough it was, there are lots of good things about it. And again, it just all comes back to that perspective. The actions of the Israelites and ourselves sometimes, we do act like we are owed something. And really, everything that we have is from God. There is nothing we have that we have earned or deserve. In Psalm 16, verse 1, the psalmist writes, Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And in a very real way, because we are his creation, everything that we have is from God. And there's nothing that we deserve or earn or have an entitlement to. In James 1:16, Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And going even further than that, when we think about our life, not only are all these blessings from God and not something that we are owed, But even our very lives, our very purpose, everything we have is meant to serve. In Luke 17:7, will any of you, and as I read this, I try to make sure I remember I'm in the place of this servant that Christ is talking about. Luke 17:7, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, Come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our due. And I just think that's such a good reminder of our service to God. when I start to feel entitled, or I start to feel like, you know, this life is for me and my own pursuits and my happiness and my achievements. You know, this story of a servant, God saying, you know, when a servant comes in, it's not, oh, you know, here, sit at the table. You've earned this. You know, the place of a servant is to serve. And that should be a very humbling reminder in this story, that we should not put ourselves in a place of expecting service from God, or expecting things from God. It really does come off as ungrateful. And it can be summarized in, I think, a pretty simple way. If you focus on the good things in your life, you will feel blessed. And if you focus on what you don't have, if you focus on your misfortunes, you'll feel miserable. And that really, in my experience, that is the case. We sang counter blessings. If those are the things we focus on, we will not feel like we are not blessed in this life. We will feel blessed. We will feel happy. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you from life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that you your youth is renewed like the eagles. That image, you know, God has saved us from the pit. That's a real stark reminder of just how blessed we are and where we would be without the blessings of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Being entitled and being ungrateful, it's not only just bad for your well-being. It's not only just kind of bad for your own happiness and sense of purpose. It's also difficult to be around. If we're honest, we probably, some of us have worked or been around people who were ungrateful, who complained all the time, who always thought, you know, things were unfair being done to them. And it's not a good look. It's not the kind of person who you're going to look at and say, I want what that person has. And so if we as Christians are to project out to the world how blessed we are and how great Jesus is in our life, we need to make sure that we are projecting that joy and that thankfulness and that service, and that we are happy in our service, and that we understand what it is to serve an amazing, loving God. Then moving on back to Numbers 11. So we see the heart of times where we are complaining and what we're focused on, and we see the people of Israel who were focused on that at this time. Then in Numbers 11, picking up again in verse 10, Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, why have you dealt ill with your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you may lay the burden of all this people on me? That's just, you know, Moses is, these people, and I'm here, I'm trying to help, and why have you put this burden on me? Verse 12, did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries for a nursing child, to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, then I may not see my wretchedness. This is a pretty desperate call from Moses. He must have been really frustrated. You know, we talked about, you know, what it's like to be around people who are complaining. Moses was, it's just like he's at his wit's end. He's like, God, did I conceive these people? Is it mine to carry? If you're gonna put me in charge of all of this, just, you know, take it away from me. And if you treat me like this, kill me at once. And I didn't really do this on purpose, but this morning's lesson and this evening's lesson, I feel like there were a couple like connections that I made, you know, after I'd already decided to kind of do them. And one was that Thanksgiving. We talked about prayer this morning and how much we should pray for Thanksgiving and how blessed we are. And then there was also, you know, a big part of what we talked about this morning was praying for those who are in leadership positions. And here, you know, I see Moses, and he needed help. He needed some prayers. And it's not always easy to be in those positions of leadership. There's a heavy burden that goes with it, and Moses here was definitely feeling that burden. But I think it's so important to see here that God is gracious. And Moses, in talking to God, said, I'm spent. You know, I'm at my wit's end. I can't keep doing this. Kind of like I just need help. That's what it felt like to me, like a prayer of just, I can't do this alone. And God, seeing that burden and being gracious and being loving. And I think it says a lot, because, you know, sometimes we see in the Bible where, you know, we see people complain or they don't want a responsibility, and God tells them, you know, you have to do this. Like, this is the expectation. But here, I think he's very gracious of Moses. So it tells me that Moses was, I think, from God answering him, as we'll see, I think that Moses was really trying and was being genuine in his prayer. So maybe that's also to kind of keep in mind that, you know, as people, when we are under people of leadership, whether it's, you know, an elder in a church, or if it's your boss at your job, I was trying to think, you know, as an employee, I want to make sure, maybe this is a silly way of thinking about it, I want to make sure I'm resolving more problems than I'm creating. You know what I mean? Like, that I'm a net positive for the school, that I'm doing more to kind of help, and not even so much like with children, but just kind of in the culture of the building. Like, I'm being more positive. I want to be like a positive influence. I want to help resolve things that happen and not create them. That's probably just a good rule of thumb, I think, to help those people in power. As much as we pray for them, to also try to make their lives a little easier and be understanding. But let's look at how the Lord responds to Moses' request. Picking up in Numbers 11, verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone." And I just think that's so beautiful. You know, God hearing Moses and saying, I will give people to you who will help bear that burden, so you don't have to do it alone. And it's a reminder, you know, again, in this life, we never have to bear that burden alone. We have each other. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a family here. And no matter what it is, I can promise you, you can find a loving brother or sister in Christ who will help you, who will bear it, who will want to help you bear it. Again, we're just so blessed in that. Verse 18, "And say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, 'Who will give us meat to eat? For it was better for us in Egypt.' Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out at your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? But Moses said, the people among whom I am, number 600,000 on foot. And you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. I'm not trying to make light of it. This just sounds like a classic parenting move. Like, you know, the kid complains about something, so you're like, okay, you know, now you're going to eat the whole box of candy. You're crying for candy all the time. Let's see how you like only eating candy, and they get sick. You know, I wouldn't do that. I'm just saying that's kind of like that kind of old classic parenting move of, you know, oh, you think this is what you want, but you don't know better than your parent. And, you know, here God sees the people of Israel complaining and saying, we had it better in Egypt. And, you know, all that he did to deliver them and for them to be complaining that they want meat, and he was providing for them. And so he says, I'm going to give you enough. And it says, you know, enough meat that is going to be coming out your nose. Not for one day or 5 days or 20, for a whole month, you're going to have more than you can possibly eat, so much that it will become loathsome to you. And, you know, it's God saying, you need to trust me. You think you know what you want. You think that you know better. You think that you may have had it better before because of whatever desire you may have had. And then Moses responds, you know, there are all these people here, and you're going to have enough meat for them for a month. Do you realize how much that would be? And God says, well, you know, you just wait and see. You know, is the Lord's hand short? Do you think I'm not able to provide whatever I want to provide? We need to always be grateful for what we have. And again, I know that we kind of point to the people of Israel and say, you know, how foolish to reject what God gave him and to not be satisfied and to want something else. But I know I do it all the time. I feel like I want more. I feel like I want better. I'm ungrateful sometimes. But God loves those who are thankful. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And then so finally, as we close, we're going to see that the Lord judges the ungratefulness of the Israelites. Going back to Numbers 11, I'm going to skip down to verse 31. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the ground. And the people rose all that day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. Those who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. While the meat was yet between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. Therefore, the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had the craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people journeyed to Hazeroth, and they remained at Hazeroth. Sometimes the punishment for rejecting God is kind of a natural consequence. Sometimes the thing that we want, that we think we want, that we think we need, is the very thing that has natural consequences that we know are harmful to us, not just literally in a physical sense, but of course, spiritually. God has given us his word, and that's a perfect outline for how we should live and how we can flourish and how we can be happy. And if we think we can find happiness anywhere else, we are fooling ourselves. We are like that kid who wants to eat candy for breakfast. Yeah, it sounds good, and it may taste good in the moment, that you're not going to feel good later. You need to trust in your parents, in our case, our Heavenly Father, that He knows what's best. And if we just do things the way He's prescribed, we'll always be better off. It reminds me of, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, I won't read it all because we're real close on time, but the people of Israel wanted a king to judge like all the other nations. And that displeased Samuel when they said, "Give a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people and all that they say to you. They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they also are doing to you. Now, obey their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." Even though we sometimes choose the hard way, and we choose the way that seems better to us, and sometimes we're ungrateful, and sometimes we forget the incredible blessings that God has given us, in His incredible mercy, in His amazing love, He will always take us back. And in having children now, like, I know I could never give up on them. Not that there wouldn't be consequences for their actions, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to do things, but I'll always love them. I'll always be there for them. And if they ever, you know, come back from anything that they do, I know I can love them and forgive them. At least I pray that. I hope that. I don't like saying things and then, you know, being boastful, you know, about my own love and ability to do that. I don't mean to sound, you know, boastful in that. Like, I know that. I hope that. But I just, if I think in my mind, like, I will love my kids no matter what, if I feel that, how much more God is going to love us and accept us and take us back and forgive us. He wants that so much. If we can love ourselves and our children that way, we know God can too. So let's be thankful and not be complainers, and to take another opportunity to realize how blessed we are, that God has given us so much, and to just praise Him and be grateful for it. If you have a need tonight, we stand ready to help you. We will pray with you. We will do anything we can for you to help you. All you need to do is come forward as we stand and sing.